Thank you very much for allowing Lois and I to come and minister to you today as we teach the Word of God. It's a great privilege to teach the Word of God. That's what we've been doing in Brazil, where we've served as missionaries with ABWE for the past 35 years. We've been involved in three church plants, and now we're involved in a church strengthening ministry in the city of Mogi Mirim. If you look at our display table back there, you'll see a number of different items. Take a look at those. It is something that you can handle. Parents, you probably won't have to say to your kids, don't touch, because it is a touch table. They can look at things. There's a game to play with, and there are M&Ms for you to eat. Is there anybody here who likes chocolate? Okay, yeah. Now, the reason is because we're working in a city called Mogi Mirim. It's a city that a lot of Americans have a hard time pronouncing because we have sounds in the word Mogi Mirim that you guys don't have in English. And with our family members, almost all of them would say, how do you say that again? And so we said, just call it M&M. And so we have M&Ms back there, and here's the method to our madness. In the future, when you have some M&Ms, stop and pray for Bob and Lois Walsh serving in Mogi Mirim, and we'd appreciate that. There are also prayer cards. You may help yourself to that. And we'll be going back to Brazil August 6th. We have approximately 1 month and 1 day, right? And we'll be heading back to Brazil. Pray for us as we return. Lord willing, this will be our last term. We've been 35 years in Brazil, and we're looking at anywhere from 3 to 5 years for our final term of service. Our goal is to see the church strengthened. Currently, they're running about 35 to 45. We'd like to see it somewhere around 85 to 90 before we leave. Also, we have a need to buy property for a total amount of $40,000. There is a piece of land right next to our church that is available. We've actually had two different people tell us that they have talked with the owner of that land, and the owner says he's going to sell it to the Baptist church. So apparently he's willing to sell it, so we're going for it. So pray for that money to come in. We have challenges. We have challenges in our ministry in Brazil, and you know what? You have some tremendous challenges in your life. The challenges primarily come in the form of resistance from our enemy, the devil. It happens not just to missionaries, but to every believer. And there's a logical reason for the difficulties that we encounter. You know, some people think Christians do not have problems. Once they get saved, once they've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they think, you're not going to have a problem in the world. I remember one time in Brazil, we went to a graduation, and we took one of our neighbor girls, who was a friend of our daughter, named Jacqueline, with us to this graduation. When we came back to get in our van, we discovered that somebody had stolen the distributor cap and all the wires off of my motor, and that car would not start. We're thinking, oh boy, how are we going to get home now? Jacqueline said, I'll call my dad. He'll come and pick us up. He's not working tonight. Usually he worked at nights, but that evening he wasn't. He came and did three runs to get us all back to our different locations. And I was on the last run, and he said to me, Pastor, why on earth would a thief steal your distributor cap and wires? I thought once you got saved, you didn't have problems like that. That only happened to those of us who aren't Christians. Well, sometimes we have a very wrong concept of why we have problems. The reason we have problems is threefold. But one of those primary reasons is the devil. The other two are the world and the flesh. And the devil, he wants to destroy and scatter and kill. And one of the things we as believers need to understand, and if you're a believer, this message is primarily for you. If you're not a believer, please pay attention, because there's some things that you will learn and probably would encourage you to become a believer in Christ Jesus. But as believers, you need to understand that when we were born in sin. We literally belonged to the enemy, Satan. We were on his side. And something happened in your life in which you put your faith in Jesus Christ and trusted in Him as your Savior, and you are transformed. It began that day, and it's an ongoing process, that transformation. But you entered You left darkness and entered light. And Satan said, traitor, I'll get you. And he's after us. And in addition to the problems that come from the world, and in addition to the problems that come from the flesh, are the attacks of the enemy. And sometimes as believers, we feel beat down, almost defeated. We get discouraged. Sometimes unnecessarily. Jesus was talking with his disciples, and he knew that discouragement was going to come their way. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We're going to look at a couple verses in 14, also chapter 15 and chapter 16. But we're going to start in John 14, verse 16. And Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to leave them. Now, that's not encouraging because they've been following him, believing that he was the Messiah, imagining that he was going to immediately establish his earthly kingdom. And when he said he was leaving, that didn't fit the scheme. But in verse 16, Jesus said, and I'm using the old Bible. I'm using King James Version because there's a word in here I want you to notice. And you'll probably, if you're using a different translation, you probably won't see the same word. But pay attention to the word that I'll be using here. Because in John 14, 16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now jump down to verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now turn to chapter 15, verse 26. And Jesus is still giving instruction about the Holy Spirit. And he says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And now in chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. That was hard for them to understand. For if I go not away, the Comforter, we know that's the Holy Spirit. Some translations say helper. The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. That word comforter in the original language, in the Greek language, when John wrote that word, he put the word down paraclete. I'm just saying it in Portuguese. I almost said paracletus. Paracletus, probably the best pronunciation. It refers to the Holy Spirit. And that one word involves several things. Probably the largest factor is that of being a helper, to aid, to assist. And that's the role of the Holy Spirit, to be our helper. Even though Jesus Christ left, he came and took the place of Christ in the lives of the apostles after Jesus had ascended to his Father. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to lead them to a deeper knowledge of the truth of the gospel and to give them the divine strength they needed to enable them to do the tasks, to deal with the trials and the persecution that they were going to face. You know, all the disciples died a death of persecution with the exception of one. And so Jesus told his disciples, if I suffer, you as my disciples are also going to suffer. And beloved, I'm going to tell you something today. It will be normal for you to suffer. It will be normal to experience hard things. Now, some of you are younger, and maybe you haven't hit some of those difficult phases in your life. And it seems that as we get older, and also the more we serve God, the more difficulties we encounter in life. But Jesus said, you got the Holy Spirit. And we know the story of the church. After Jesus ascended, about 40 days later, they were gathered together, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And it was spectacular. It was miraculous. And they received the Holy Spirit. The Bible said they received the gift of tongues. And I'm going to touch on that just briefly. Because, you know, in Brazil, we run across many, many brothers in Christ that are of the charismatic Pentecostal persuasion. One of the things I love to do, because many of them believe that we as Baptists are not truly saved. And when I meet them and discover they're of that group, one of the things I do is I put my hand out and shake their hand and say, it's always such a pleasure to meet another brother in Christ, because I too have put my faith in Jesus Christ. And sometimes as we get talking, they say, but you're a Baptist, you don't have the Holy Spirit, do you? Have you ever heard that up here in the United States? If you've heard that, as a Baptist, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Is that common up here or not? I guess that's probably a Brazilian thing. But I have heard it literally dozens of times. They think that we don't have the Spirit because we don't speak in tongues. They think that if you get the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. By the way, would you like to do a real quick check just to see if you have the gift of tongues? Anybody game for that? You game? Okay, we got at least one guy, so we'll do it. Okay? Abre sua Bíblia agora para 1 Coríntios, capítulo 12. Todo mundo, por favor, todos vocês, abre sua Bíblia para 1 Coríntios, capítulo 12. Não fica olhando para mim como idiota. Abre suas Bíblias. Well, you guys don't have the... Amen! Because you don't have the gift of tongues. You want to know what I just said to you? Well, before I tell you what I just said, I'm going to tell you why I did it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 that when they heard the preaching, they heard it in their own language. There was a group of people from at least 11 language groups gathered there in the day of Pentecost. And it said every one of them heard it in their native tongue. That's there three times. I don't know how you were raised, but when my dad had to tell me something three times, I was in big trouble. Three times was a confirmation of the facts. And the Holy Spirit put in Acts chapter 2 the divine word saying that we heard in our own language. Now, if you had the gift of tongues, you would have understood me in English when I was speaking to you in Portuguese. Does that not make sense? You would have heard me in your native tongue. What's your native tongue? American English, right? You would have heard me in good old Michigan English. By the way, you want to know what I said? I said, okay, let's see if you have the gift of tongues. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody, I said, everybody open your Bibles. Nobody opened their Bibles. You sat there looking at me. I said to you, and this was in fun, I didn't say it personally, don't sit there looking at me like a bunch of dumb idiots. Open your Bibles. Nobody did it. You guys don't have the gift of tongues. And I had a little fun with you in the process. But you know what we do have? We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has some fantastic functions for us. One, He is our comforter. He aids us. This word parakletos means not only to be an aid and a helper, but also an advocate. That word advocate also means lawyer. That means the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. If you've ever had to go into a court of law, you've been intimidated. And you think, I don't know the procedure. And so what you do is you try and find a lawyer who will guide you through that procedure. Unfortunately, I have been sued twice in Brazil. One time I won, one time I lost. The time I lost, it was all based on lies. But yet God provided. And when I had those legal problems, and under both cases they were false accusations against us, I tried to get some good lawyers. And You know, today when we have problems, we want to get a good lawyer. The one thing we don't want to hear is, man, I can't afford a good lawyer. I guess I'm going to have to go with the public defender. You know, he's the last guy you usually want. The government pays his salary, not you, so he's not really fighting for your side in a strong way. But you know, when we have the Holy Spirit as our lawyer, and he intercedes for us, he helps us in ways that we cannot understand. He consoles us, he comforts us, and he intercedes. There's an old hymn, "The Comforter Has Come." I won't sing it for you. That wouldn't be a blessing to you. It was written by Francis Bathome. And one of the verses says, "Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound." Do you have woes? Do you have problems? Do you have difficulties? He says, "Wherever human hearts and human woes abound, let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. We have the Holy Spirit." That is the greatest gift. We receive the gift of the Spirit the exact moment that we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We get the triune God who we are worshiping today. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us to God. And one of the cool things about the Holy Spirit, we all can afford him. He's the best lawyer there is, and he's ours freely. And he does it joyfully. And he does it instantly. And so you see, when we see the Holy Spirit, one of the things we should see in the Holy Spirit is that he is our refuge and our strength. Martin Luther, centuries ago, wrote the song, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." That word bulwark, have you used that word recently in your vocabulary? Yeah, right. I understand. It's old language. It has the concept of a strong building, a castle with thick, thick walls. When the enemy attacks, the walls just resist. It's like the bunkers that exist that have 10 concrete walls 10 feet thick. A strong castle, a fortress. The Holy Spirit is that strong castle because he is part of the triune God. One of the things that blessed me, after we left our first church, they decided to change their name. It used to be the Regular Baptist Church of Itaquera, and they changed it to Strong Castle Baptist Church of Itaquera. Strong castle. And it means so much to them. As a matter of fact, when we sing that song in Portuguese, "A Mighty Fortress," we start out singing, "Castelo Forte, meu Deus." A strong castle. Castelo Forte. God is that strength, that refuge, that bulwark where we can go that will never fail. We read Psalm 91 from the screen today, and it talked about he is our refuge. He's our strength. And he will never, ever, ever, and throw in 10 more evers, abandon us. Isn't that great? There are so many things being abandoned today. You know, in a lot of churches, the Bible is being abandoned. They have changed their theology to meet the needs of our itchy ears. And the way they do that, you get rid of the Bible. Or you explain verses away. But when we go back to the Word of God, we find that we have a Holy Spirit that indwells us, and strengthens us and helps us and comforts us in all of our difficulties. My dear friends, I know by experience that the Holy Spirit can meet all of our needs in every circumstance we've had. I've had the privilege, if you can say that, of being held up at gunpoint twice, had our home burglarized twice, had people lie about us and lose a court case and have to sell a car to pay for the results. Even our first term, when we were working at Strong Castle Baptist Church, one day I got a letter from my dad. Now, we didn't have internet back then. And Dad wrote, "Your grandpa died. He didn't know the Lord." That's hard. And then my cousin, who was 18, the day before he was to leave for college, killed instantly in a car crash. Second miscarriage. First guy I ever witnessed to in Portuguese where I could actually complete the entire explanation of salvation. He didn't receive Christ that day. Later on, he did. But we saw him killed in a tragic accident. And we saw things happen time after time after time. But we said, you know what? The Holy Spirit will never, ever abandon us. He will never leave us. Romans 8. There's a couple verses we should look at. I'm making the statements, but I'm not reading the verses. So let's do that. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered." That's impressive to me, that the Holy Spirit groans for me when he sees things I'm going through, the difficulties. And you know what? Sometimes the difficulties we go through are caused because of our own sins, my sins, your sins. And he groans. And sometimes the enemy attacks and he groans because he cares. And verse 27 says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The will of God in our lives is fantastic and fantastically hard. The will of God is hard. Do you know that when Jesus began his ministry, he was led by the Spirit? He was led. Look in Luke 4. And this will tell you how Jesus was led. And it's not how we always would like to be led, but he will lead us like this. And when he leads us in the difficult ways, follow. Because he will not only lead you in, but he will lead you out. Luke 4, verse 1 says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Yuck. Desolation. And we know he was tempted. He fasted for 40 days and was weakened, and he was tempted. And he won. That is the cool part, that he won. One of the things that the Spirit wants to do in your life is to lead you. There are verse after verse after verse. One of the primary ones is Galatians 5:18. It says, "But ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Being led of the Spirit. One of the things in my life that I seek to do is to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be guided by him, to be directed. He does fabulous things. He does marvelous things. One of my missionary colleagues told me the story that of an occasion where he knew very, very clearly he was being led of the Spirit. You see, the whole thing started about 10:30 at night, and he was home, and he was getting ready for bed, and he put on his PJs and took care of the normal process of getting ready for bed and made sure the house was secure, and he climbed into bed. And he laid there battling the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was saying, go visit the next-door neighbor that lives right next door to your church. And my friend said, Lord, it's nighttime. And by then it was 11 o'clock, and the Holy Spirit kept just tapping away at him, saying, go see your neighbor. And he argued back, saying, Lord, I'm already in my PJs. I'm in bed. Go see your neighbor. Lord, nobody makes visits after 11 o'clock. If I were to leave right now, I wouldn't get there until 11:30. Go see your neighbor. So Norm climbs out of bed after, he said he argued for half an hour with the Holy Spirit. Climbs out of bed and starts putting on his, takes off his PJs, starts putting on his clothes. And his wife says, Norm, what are you doing? He says, I got to go visit the church's neighbor. At this time of night? Yeah, I've been arguing with the Holy Spirit for half an hour. I guess I better go. She said, yeah, I guess so. And he went and he parked the car at the church. And you have to understand, in Brazil, we don't have, the sidewalk is right at the edge of the road. There's the curb, the sidewalk, and our walls and our gates to get in. And Norm was walking to this guy's gate. And as he got to the gate, the door of the gate opened inwardly and the guy came charging out. And Norm and the neighbor literally collided. Physically collided. Well, they gathered themselves, and the guy said, Pastor, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I came to visit you. He said, I know it's late, but I just felt I needed to visit you. He says, oh, thank you so much for coming, because I'm on my way out to kill myself right now. Because what had happened that day, and the missionary didn't even know about it, but they had a cement box that's a water box that was empty sitting in the yard. And his little three-year-old daughter was playing in the backyard, and she sat on the edge of it, and while she was goofing around, the thing teetered over, flipped over, and killed that little three-year-old girl. And the man was so distraught, because for months his wife had been saying, why don't you get rid of that piece of junk? Yeah, I'll take care of it. Yeah, I'll take care of it. Like so many men, we always put off certain things, and his little girl died that day, and he was so distraught he was heading out to kill himself. But Norm, being led of the Holy Spirit, met that man at the gate late at night when nobody makes visits, or at least nobody wants to be visited. That anybody, Pastor, you still have a lot of people to meet. I know your time is limited. If you open it up, 11:30 visits, any volunteers? I don't think so. Excuse me for joking. But you see, that's what happens when we're led of the Holy Spirit. I've had similar experiences, and I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but there was one young man that we were called to minister to his family because he had been shot in the head. His big brother had been involved in drug trafficking. They tried killing him. He got away. So they went after little brother just for vengeance. They shot him in the back of the neck, right here at the base of his skull, and the bullet popped out here. When he fell, he yelled help, and the guy shot him again. And Tika was in pretty bad shape. But I had an opportunity to minister to that family and explain the Word of God and God's love and God's plan of salvation. And first we saw Mom and Dad get saved, and aunts and uncles and cousins, and then Tika. Matter of fact, if you were here for the morning session, I showed the picture of the baptism of that church. That night, Tiku's little sister, who was 32, single mom with two kids, she also got saved. And one by one, that entire family is coming to know the Lord. Why? Because we were guided of the Holy Spirit to minister to needs in difficult situations. And sometimes, let me tell you this, sometimes in the most difficult situations, we have the greatest victory. Let me explain. It does make sense. Okay? Let's pick a baseball team, okay? Okay, guys. You. I want younger guys. You, and you. You're going to play against the kindergartners. Is that going to be a tough battle against the kindergartners in a serious ball game? You're not going to let them hit unless they earn a hit. You're not going to give them a run unless they earn a run. Is that going to be a very big victory? No. Okay, now you same guys, you're playing against Detroit Tigers without injured players. And you win. Now that is a victory, amen? Now that's a miracle. But you see, that's what our victories are, they're miracles. And God has promised us, because we have the Holy Spirit, that we are more than victorious. My King James Bible says we're more than conquerors. But in the original language, it says we are more than hyper winners. Do you know what a hyper winner is? Well, somebody who wins more than just a regular winner. I can explain this to you in a concept. You all know what a market is, right? You go to a small store, it's a market. But if you go to a really big one, it's a supermarket, right? Well, in Sao Paulo, we have hypermarkets. And when they began building the hypermarkets in Sao Paulo, the first one they built, a lot of promotion on TV, it wasn't very far away, we said, we're going to check out this hypermarket. We got to the hypermarket, it had 104 checkout lanes, and the line was more than a half hour long. That's a hypermarket. It's a big store. That's the concept of that word, hyper. It's more than super. You know, if you want to be a real hero, don't be a superhero, be a hyperhero. And the Bible says we are more than conquerors. We are more than hyper winners because we have the Holy Spirit. So learn to utilize the Holy Spirit in your life. Be led of the Spirit. I have some more points that I'm not going to have time to share, but I'm just going to mention the points. Walk in the Spirit. Abide in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And if you do, you will have immense joy. Exercise the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives you. And you will see unusual things happen. You'll see things happen that you'll say are near miraculous. Like leading a kid to the Lord after he's been executed and shot in the head. With the bullet going in here and popping out up here. Go figure. Later on when Kiku was growing in the Lord, I said to him, I said, Tiku, do you know why you didn't die that day you were shot? He said, oh, God had a plan for my life. I said, nah, your brain's only about that big. But you know, if we don't use the Holy Spirit in our life, we probably got brains only about that big. It is one of the greatest gifts you have received. It's hard for me to say which is better, the gift of salvation or the gift of the Holy Spirit, but both of them happened instantaneously, so I probably can't, theologically, I can't be correct in separating them. But having the Holy Spirit is fantastic! Brothers and sisters in Christ, learn to use the Holy Spirit daily in your life. Learn to ask yourself in the morning, do I want to be led by the Holy Spirit? Do I want to be full of the Holy Spirit? And then yield yourself to Him. And then at the end of the day, ask yourself another question. How did I do in that task of walking in the Spirit? And then pray and say, Lord, teach me to do a better job, and He will. But one of the great things we have for all the difficulties that we face is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't get discouraged with the attacks of the enemy, because it is normal. And let me just add this. If you are growing, if you are an adult and you haven't experienced the attack of the Holy Spirit, you might want to verify that you really are saved. Not that that is absolute proof of salvation, but it's an evidence. And if you haven't had attacks from the enemy in your life, maybe it's because you still belong to him. And if you belong to the enemy, talk with Pastor today, or someone else that you know that could explain, or talk with me, talk with my wife, about how you can begin a new life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that we have him as a comforter, an intercessor. He knows how to console our hearts, to calm us, to help us to remember the scriptures that guarantee us of the promises that you have given us, that you will protect us. Lord, keep us walking in the Spirit. Lead us in the Spirit. Guide us. Fill us. Help us to learn to use our spiritual gifts to your honor and glory. And we'll give you praise for all these things. Amen.
Thank you, my brother, for sharing this morning. Would you stand, please, and let's thank the Lord for all the reasons that